They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
TGIF. Look at Lalf in there.
We really do.
He looks relaxed.
He does. He looks well today.
You had fun last night.
I think
night,
he's coming off a nice night out.
Yeah.
To the Justin Timberlake concert. He looks good.
Did you guys have a
work? Looks like you had a good time.
You have a car? Put the screen up in between you and the driver?
Champagne on ice in the back?
Hello?
Your fascination about my personal life is amazing.
It really is. It's great.
I've known you for so long, but yet you're such a private person. Right?
I don't think he's
Tom?
A private person.
Tom's in there laughing.
I don't think he's a private person. What are you talking about?
Jim went to JT last night.
Which we knew about because
Jim told us. Jim said he was one of seven men there last night.
Good ratio.
Except for the one crazed Justin Timberlake fan sitting in our row that was like screaming and yelling before he even came out.
Oh, wow. That's intense. That is intense.
Yeah.
You get up
like
there.
Like high-fiving everybody that walked by in the row.
The sad reality is...
In the upper deck.
When you sit in the upper deck, no matter what it is, whether it be sports or it be a concert...
Yeah,
you're
we're
with,
here.
You're with the real hardcores up
you're
there.
Just happy to be here,
that,
man.
You know, don't have the connections or whatever it may be. Yeah. To, you know, just be in the lower bowl.
I could imagine that.
And then you get the really, really hardcore fan club type members that end up, you know, right in front of the stage. Right? Like
but,
the Springsteen
but it was like,
fans that are in the fan club or the U2 fans in the fan club, all that stuff.
I had the guy, the crazy guy, though, like two songs in, got signaled down, boom, he went downstairs. He must have gotten onto the floor somehow. And then somebody a row behind, security came up, flashed the light, you, down. Right down. They must have gone down to the floor because it wasn't like a you have to leave, like you're ejected. It was like a you come with me, like I'm going to take you somewhere.
Yeah.
Really? Maybe they're told to spot the craziest fans, the ones that are really into it.
I know.
Put like, them in front of the stage.
I took my buddy the other night. It's like the fourth or fifth thing I've taken to. He goes, jeez, where do you get these seats? Who do you know? I'm like, this guy, me.
Me.
So, Beetle, you're a big concert goer at TD Garden.
Yes.
I don't want to get too distracted.
Yeah, no.
There is a bar.
It's Friday. We got 100 different things we're
going to
do today.
They had the big main stage, right?
Yeah.
Then they had the walkway. They had a middle stage and then a stage at the other end, right?
Yeah.
So the middle stage, there was a VIP area.
Oh.
Had a bar attached to the stage.
On the floor?
Own bartender on the floor.
Oh, that's new. I've never seen that before.
I think I saw aftermarket was $2,000 a ticket or something like that.
Yeah. It was down there, but by the time we got down there, it was closed up. But it's pretty cool, the floor stuff that they have going on for some of these concerts. Because sometimes you get down lower, you get in a pit, like we were there for Metallica and that, and you just couldn't move. This was different. You could actually move around and go up to the stage, move around, get a drink, step back. You know,
that's nice.
Never bumped into anybody.
That's very nice.
That's awesome.
All right, big finish at Fenway yesterday.
Hey, yeah, I went
to
the game.
That was positive. You were at that game. That's what you did yesterday.
Went to the game right after
the
show. Left after 6 were completed. And it was moving pretty good pace. But thanks to Mary and Mike and Touch
and Rich.
You're
one of those guys. You're one of those guys that leaves early.
Why not? You're sitting there. It's 4 o'clock. Traffic, dude. Here's what's happened. I still sat in 2 hours of traffic on the way home. Then got on my couch with my feet up and trying to de-thaw my hands, which were completely frozen from sitting out there. God bless you people that stayed. I don't know how you do that. But and it's, the game was still on, obviously, late innings. But, boy, was David Price good. Oh, my God. To see it in person, you know, guys like me, I've railed on Price. If he could keep this up, to hear the ball pop in the mitt when he throws it and he's starting to groove it. Now, he had some deep outs in this game. And, you know, that wind was blown, and we thought a couple of those were going to get out early. But, no, settled down when he got into trouble, did what he had to do. The guy's been great his first two starts. And you got to give him props for it. I mean, if he could do this, this team could go far. But they're starting to build character, I think. Yeah, they are.
Comeback wins do have that sort of effect. That in, you know what it is?
It's
to go to Jim's point about the fun and the likability of the team. Comeback wins, I don't know. It feels like it endears them to a fan base. We have comeback wins, that never fight thing,
but
whatever
as,
that is.
Even as good as he was, that place was dead through six innings. Dead.
Price? For Price? Really?
Dead.
Oh, he was great.
Well, I mean, they could stand up, you know, and everybody stretches. It's opening day, too, so I know it's a different crowd, and you know, it's not warm out, so I mean, they're selling hot chocolate for $8.50. I'm like, you got to be kidding me, $8.50 for hot chocolate? Talk about price gouging. But I do want to talk about one other thing, and I never thought this would bug me. The Nets are an issue down low. It's distracting to watch a game throw them. You've got to go to a bunch. You got to go to a bunch of games. You got to be a season ticket holder to, I think, get used to that.
They look terrible.
For a person like me who doesn't go to a bunch of games, very rarely do I go down there because it's a hassle and we work during the day. Wow. It's like taking one of your screens from your house and just keeping it in front of you at all times and having to look through it. It wears on you a little bit. Now, I understand why they're there. Now, I'm not trying to make an issue of that. But I didn't think it would be the issue that it was yesterday. I was like, wow, this is really a barrier. Then you look up and you see how it's all attached and the wiring and you know the post down the right field.
I could see, it looked awful.
I'm not going
to see. I saw some people that were tweeting about it that were fans. I did a search on Twitter to see if anyone had any tweets.
I mean, all you got to do
I saw a couple that people were complaining about it. It looks awful.
All you got to do is go look at the people that have been hurt by it, and I understand that. I'm not trying to say.
No, I've resigned myself to the Nets are going to be there, okay?
Right, you have to. I'm not saying take them down.
But why do they have to suck?
But I know this. I wouldn't fork over the dough for the low seats.
They either cheaped out on them.
Wouldn't do it.
Or they just don't know how to do it right. They don't know how to do it with making them look seamless. Maybe the ballpark creates some sort of challenges with the architecture.
There's nothing.
The cabling. Nope. I don't know.
Nope.
No, but it does. I can tell you this: it doesn't look good. And I wasn't there. You were.
Yeah.
You immediately said, "Wow, these Nets are in the way."
I couldn't believe it.
Giant cables everywhere.
You're trying to look through because, like, and it was so bright, and it was such a nice day from a sunny standpoint. You still had to like sort of squint through the which number guy is that because it's a little fuzz. It creates a fuzz because when you look in the outfield, it's crystal clear. It's like high def. You know, it is high def. I mean, on a day like that, man, it's just the white unis, those suckers pop. It's a gorgeous uniform. But the Nets affected the viewing. It did. I would pay for second-tier seats, you know, up on that second level to where you're kind of looking down right over it.
You'd rather be higher in the grandstand.
That'd be a perfect seat. I'd go monsters and watch a game from there.
That's not widely available or attainable for most.
I'm saying, but like if I have really good seats down low, or the opportunity to have those, or I could have monsters. I'd choose the monster seats because of the view. Yeah. Down low's tough.
Monster seats are not a great view either.
I don't know, but I
can't see left field.
I'd like it. I don't know.
Right, because you leave in the sixth inning, because you're there for the, like, yay, I went to a Red Sox game.
If J.D. Martinez was out there, Zoe wouldn't want to see left field anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. 617-779-0985. I'd like to hear from someone, or people who were at the game, who have their feedback on the Nets. I wouldn't mind hearing that. I also noticed that if you looked when there was a left-handed batter at the plate, and you kind of get that during the at-bat in between pitches view from the dugout camera to the batter, I noticed that along the first base side, I don't know, we'll say Section 10, somewhere around there, shout out to Jared Carabas, Section 10, there looked to be a group of people that were standing in their seats, probably 15, 20 people standing up. It felt like the entire game. And all I could think of was, are they standing because of some cable or some netting in their way? Is that why they're all standing up?
I don't know.
Maybe someone saw that too and can explain that to me, because I didn't know what was happening there. I'm like, why are these people standing all day? Are they cold? Maybe they were just cold?
Yeah.
Maybe that was it? I don't know. But the netting, just from TV and from pictures.
I got a great story about a couple that sat in front of us too.
Doesn't look good. Doesn't look good. Yeah, I want to talk about Hanley Ramirez and also David Price's cut fastball, because that thing is filthy when it's working.
That thing pops.
Filthy. 617-779-0985. Also, a way to second-guess the manager yesterday, some decisions, and the eighth inning, which is a complete train wreck for the Red Sox right now.
That ain't going away.
I think that's a decision that's going to need to be made by the manager in the coming games. What do you do in the eighth inning if Carson Smith blows and Joe Kelly can't get the job done either? That's something they're going to have to address. We'll get to that with your calls. 617-779-0985. Coming up next.
Are they aliens?
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
High fly ball into center field. Jackie Bradley turning tail. He's heading back, looking up. It's gone. Duffy with his first home run of the season. A two-run homer here in the eighth inning to make it 2-0, Tampa Bay. Fly ball in center field, dropping. It's in for a base hit. Here comes Mookie Betts. He's going to score, and the Red Sox are on the board. Make it 2-1.
He's been putting good at-bats since the first day in spring training.
Hanley continues to come through in the clutch.
You know, he's hitting third for a reason. I do believe in him.
There's a shot out to left, racing back Smith to the wall. He can't get it. It rolls to the warning track. The run is in. Bogarts to second, and the Red Sox have tied it.
When I'm there with a fan, I just try to stay with it regardless of how many strikes I had. And Hanley, I mean, obviously came up huge.
Fly ball right field, and that is going to do it. On to the warning track. The Red Sox walk it off. Bradley scores, and the Sox win it in 12.
Well, it's a team win.
That was huge. You know, we've done that a couple times this year, and that's what good teams do.
Couple of things here on the Red Sox.
This from the Mummy soundtrack.
What is over dramatic Red Sox?
Techno boy went to a concert last night. Now he's got all those fancy rejoins.
That's Tom. Tom didn't go to a concert. Over dramatic Red Sox recap of opening day yesterday. First walk off win on opening day since Mo Vaughn did it to the Seattle Mariners in 1995. I believe that was 95. Correct, Jim? Am I have that right? The walk off win.
Yeah, they were down. They were down.
Might have been nine.
It was later. It was like 97, 98. They were down 6-2 in the ninth.
Were you at that one?
Wasn't it the year he said it wasn't about the money?
No, Maz had it. Yeah, he called Boston fans stupid.
Did Maz talk about it or tweet it?
Tweeted it.
Hold on.
Maz tweeted it.
Please hold.
Maz either said it was 7-2 or 6-2.
Please hold. I don't see that. I don't see that tweet. Oh, here it is.
April 10th, 1998.
Thank you. Sean McAdam had the tweet. Maz retweeted. 98. Mo Vaughn beat Seattle with a grand slam. Remember, didn't we have the kid who caught that ball call us one day? Do you remember that? Do you remember that?
I don't.
It happened a couple years ago.
On this show?
Yeah, the guy who has the baseball from that. So.
I don't remember that.
Either. Maybe it was on Felger Maz. Mm. Maybe it wasn't this show. I know he's called here before.
Tell you what, Benintendi's on the gas. That guy's big. He's big. He didn't look like the same person.
And?
He's like, wow. Like, that dude got really big. He was so small last year.
I mean, he was...
I'm right behind the dugout, so I'm watching these guys come out. And then, like, him, Bogarts looks big. Obviously, Hanley looks huge. J.D. Martinez looks soft. He looked like a ball player.
A little flabby.
He didn't look like a ball player.
No, he looks like a lot of ball players, but he doesn't look like a prototypical DH.
He looks like a backup catcher, if that makes any sense.
Okay, yeah.
Who's the guy who used to catch Wakefield? Doug Mirabelli.
Doug Mirabelli.
He looks like Doug Mirabelli. So all these guys come out, and they're warming up. You know, they do their swings.
That feels a little strong.
Oh, whatever.
It's a little jiggle.
They're all doing their warm-up swings. You know what? Martinez, he comes out, and he... puts both hands on the bat. He grips it like it looks like Corbin Burnson from Major League. Like, there's an actor playing a ball player.
There's a little jelly there. Jam don't shake
looks,
like that.
He looks like an actor playing a ball player.
Huh.
Not a lot of excitement around him. Like, he had that one big hit that the center fielder misjudged it. Oh, the groan. My God. He got a lucky triple there. Had the big hit late, though. But Red Sox tweeted out Red Sox stats. He hit that 111-mile fastball for an out. He really hit that one on his screws. That one was fast. I don't know what this guy. I don't know.
I think you know. Sounds like you know what you know.
What do I know?
Tell me what I know, please.
Tell me. Tell me so I can advance this.
Help him.
I'm just sitting there observing. I'm just watching all these little
things. You don't
like
anything about him.
I don't.
That's
I don't.
What you know.
I don't.
There we go.
There we go. It wasn't so hard.
Okay. J.D. Martinez got pinch run for in the 11th inning.
Yeah, hey, Swihart.
Tie game. 2-2.
Hey, Swihart, go in.
They bring
him.
In Swihart. One out. J.D. Martinez on first. They pinch run in a tie game.
How much faster is Swihart?
Does that make sense to you?
No.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. The game was tied.
What if he got up again?
Yeah, then you've got...
It's not like you were down two.
Then you get Swihart coming up instead of J.D. Martinez, who you are relying on to be a bat.
I thought the same damn thing. Like, and how much faster is him than he? How much faster is Swihart than Martinez? What, like 3 inches?
What?
How much faster is he than Martinez?
Swihart's a good base runner.
Is he that fast?
Yeah.
Oh, you're putting Mookie Betts
in. Well, I mean, since you're sizing everybody up, why don't you tell me what the size of Blake Swihart is?
I didn't see him because I left.
Oh, right. Because you weren't there.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Sorry
my
about
ass
that.
Off.
Forgot about that. Also, I would say, you didn't catch the ninth inning either because you weren't there.
No.
Everybody in that inning, except for two guys, did something at the plate. Do you know who the two guys were?
Oh, he hit the double play.
Yeah,
Martinez.
He grounded into the double play, which is like the one thing there that you don't want to do. Rennie on the broadcast was all over this. Like, they're going to try and get him to ground out here. They're going to try and get him to ground into a double play. Like, this is what they're going to try and do. Pitching away from the power. And sure as bleep, he grounds into the double play. Him and Jackie Bradley Jr.
Yep.
The two guys who
you're talking about the bang
play
first.
The only two guys in the ninth inning who didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the play at the end of that, Jackie Bradley Jr. being out at first base. I legitimately did not know how that's supposed to be ruled. Is the ball in the glove?
I don't know what the rule is anymore.
Is the ball in the glove when it is between, you know, the pinky and the thumb, and it's somewhere inside?
In the pocket.
Between two pieces of leather? What is it?
But still not touching anything?
Is it when the ball is, when the glove is squeezed shut, and it's closed, and it's in the control of the glove? The clarification on this was that as soon as the ball touches the glove is when it starts to count.
It should be. If that ball touches the back, you know, inside webbing, right into the pocket, that should be an out, not the tip of the glove. Or the bottom, or where your wrist is.
But this is where you run into problems.
It's just
where you juggle it.
That's the catch rule all over again.
Yeah, it is.
So if a guy catches the ball in the NFL, as soon as he starts touching it, if his feet are in bounds, he's good. That's what that rule is equivalent to.
This is exactly like the Clement touchdown, to where we could sit here and say, well.
No, it's not, though. There was no juggling. It's as soon as it touches his hand and his feet are in bounds, it's in. It's in.
Yeah, as long as there's touching.
So was there enough video evidence to overturn the original call?
We've got contact.
So basically, if that Bradley play, if the first baseman had caught it in the webbing instead of the palm, he was safe. He caught it in the palm, and he was out.
Because it touched sooner, is what you're saying.
Yes, it takes longer to get to the webbing.
Right. But how much of a problem is this? And again, it's a pretty unlikely scenario, and it wouldn't happen on a play like that. But let's say it's a little flip throw from the pitcher or the second baseman to the first baseman, and it kind of starts to, you know, it hits his glove, but it might bobble for a second. The runner, meanwhile, hits first and is, you know, down the first baseline, but the ball, like, kind of dangles in the air for a second, then he grabs it.
Yeah, I mean, safe,
not only that.
I don't think it matters. I think it's the touch.
Yeah, it does. As long as it touches,
whether they juggle it or not, I believe it's as soon as it touches the leather.
I mean, you don't see a lot of juggled balls at first base, so I'm saying it's a pretty unlikely scenario. But seriously, what's the ruling on that? If it's as soon as it touches the leather,
it's not defined,
and he ends up completing
the catch. Goes to the runner. Tie goes to the runner is not in the rules. That's not a thing.
Could have.
But what if you can't determine? What if you go frame by frame and the ball is hitting the glove as the same time that the runner is hitting the bag.
Safe.
And you can't determine which one was first.
I think the call should have been safe.
You go with the call on the field.
I think the call should have been safe. But
so the call was out.
The call could have gone either way, and you can't overturn it either way.
Mm. I didn't think there was enough there to overturn that.
No, no. But had he been called safe, would you have overturned it?
No.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
No.
No.
So what did you end up with? You ended up with the call in the field was what the call was.
That's what you should
do. Sort of makes the replay useless.
Right. But I mean, if it's bang bang and it's not conclusive, you go with the call. You go with the call. See, I was driving a car and the radio broadcast was even rooting for it to be out. Because like, how do you...
Because if you start overturning plays like that...
Well, not only that, it's
problematic.
Such an, okay, now there's a delay. Okay, the Red Sox players are coming out of the dugout. They think it's over. It was sort of going to be like an anticlimactic win. You know, a bang-bang infield hit walk-off for Jackie Bradley Jr.
What do you do if you're the Red Sox, if you're Alex Cora, when you get to the eighth inning with a two-run lead from now on?
I have no clue.
Bobby Pointer looks pretty good.
Yep, that's exactly what I was going to say. Bobby Pointer is my guy. Until Bobby Pointer gives you a reason not to be that guy.
The other two haven't earned it.
That's
the problem.
It needs to be eighth inning by committee right now. Eighth inning by committee. Whoever's pitching well has to get the eighth. Because Carson Smith right now should give you zero confidence. You should have no confidence in that.
See, what also could come out of this, too, is if, say these first three get rolling again, meaning, you know, Porcello, Price, and Sell, and say the pitch count's low, is there going to be any angst by Cora? Maybe I could stretch him a little bit more. Maybe one morning, because we're such a freaking disaster getting to Kimbrel. Or is it just, it's a hard, man, if these guys are rolling, we're still taking them out through six, through seven, you know, where there's no chance they're going to come out for an eighth. Like, Price went through seven, what, 76? 76 pitches the other night, and boom, you're out. No, not even debatable. Not even thinking about, well, maybe it'll get to the point like against the Yankees, and maybe that's dependent upon the opponent. If you got a better opponent, better team, shoot, if my ace is rolling and it's low pitch count, we might bring him back out for the eighth because we're a mess.
Well, and Pointer to this
no
point.
Trust right now.
Pointer to this point, four and two-thirds pitched. He hasn't walked a single guy. He struck out six. He pitched the 11th and the 12th yesterday. And he's looked the best coming out of the bullpen. I mean, him and Matt Barnes. Because Carson Smith and Joe Kelly have been terrible. And the Red Sox have already given up 10 runs in the eighth inning through seven games. That is insane. They lead the majors. No surprise there. That eighth inning is a huge problem for this team. They got to make a change. Here's an opportunity to make a change on the fly and do it. Just do it. Pointer's pitching well. Put the guy in the eighth inning who's pitching well. It's an easy thing to do. Not going to take a lot of thought to make that happen. 617-779-0985. Those are some Red Sox thoughts from yesterday. You have any of your own, please bring them to the table. Want to follow up on Kyrie Irving being done for the year? And not just the Kyrie angle and the Celtics angle, but how LeBron James wins again. And maybe not in the way you think. We'll get to that coming up next.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Celtics back to work tonight. They'll be without Kyrie Irving for the rest of the season, as we all now know. Tonight's game, Bulls are in town. And in case you didn't hear, John Wallach will have the call alongside Cedric Maxwell here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, pregame at 7 o'clock. Red Sox with a 3-2 12-inning win over the Rays in their home opener yesterday. David Price, what did you think of your start?
It was good. It was cool out there, and to be able to give us seven strong innings, that was good. To be able to match Yanni over there, he's thrown the ball extremely well against us two times, and it's fun to watch young guys go out there and throw the ball like that.
Series will continue tomorrow. Bruins lost to the Panthers last night 3-2. They're home to take on the Senators tomorrow night. Revolution have a nice little three-match unbeaten streak going. They'll look to keep it going as they host the Montreal Impact tonight at Gillette Stadium. That game will be heard on our HD2 channel at 7:30. And at the Masters, Jordan Spieth is your leader, 6 under par after an opening round 66. He'll tee off in his second round in about 20 minutes. Matt Kuchar is the next player back. He is at 4 under par. He teed off about a minute ago. Headlines. are brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Go to getanoilchange.com now to save up to $15 on your next oil change. Print out the coupon or pull it up on your mobile device. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It is no longer wise to ignore us.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
There is no greater negative that can happen to LeBron James this year than losing to Kyrie Irving.
Oh,
this is why I said Cleveland's coming out of the East. LeBron James cannot lose to Kyrie Irving this year. I ain't talking about next year when Gordon Hayward comes.
I'm not talking
about when we look at the future of Boston. This year, without Gordon Hayward, if the Boston Celtics, and I'm not, let me tell you something right now. This is how bad this is. LeBron would need lose to somebody else. Lose to the Wizards in the first round.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be as bad. Yeah. Lose to Toronto. It wouldn't be as bad. If LeBron James loses to Kyrie Irving, oh, he won't live that down. He won't live that down.
Are
they going to win or lose?
They are not losing to Boston.
See, Molly.
They are not losing to Boston.
He's
LeBron, I believe of all the years that LeBron James has been in this league, this is the closest we will ever see to him being Jordan-esque in a series against Boston and
right
Kyrie
now.
Irving.
Okay.
Because, oh, he has to.
I'm telling
he
you right now.
Right now. I'm trying to tell you.
And nobody can get a word in edgewise with Stephen A. It's great.
So
Stephen
angry.
A. Smith.
Get to cut a minute out of that, too.
That thing went on for days, it felt like. That's Stephen A. Smith earlier this week, before it was known that Kyrie Irving was done for the year, talking about LeBron James would not lose to Kyrie Irving after everything that played out in Cleveland with Kyrie getting traded to the Celtics last offseason. So now the automatic assumption is, for a lot of people, myself included, LeBron's going back to the NBA Finals.
Sure.
I have so much faith in that guy.
Wake me up when it's them and Golden State.
And that's the, oh, look, LeBron, good for him, he won again. He beats out Kyrie this year by Kyrie not playing. Okay, fine. That's part of the win. But the way that some people, non-Patriot fans, feel about the Patriots, and everything always comes up in the Patriots' favor, right? Oh, everything always goes their way. Of course, they're always winning. They're always just winning, and everything seems to go their way. I feel this way about LeBron. LeBron always gets everything to go his way, for the most part, including this. So Kyrie gets hurt, and that's him, you know, having an easier path to the finals. But take it all the way back to last offseason. Is he not the biggest winner of last offseason from then until now? And he hasn't done a damn thing. Just think of all the things that have happened. So Kyrie gets traded, and he's off to the Celtics. And that, in small part, makes it easier for LeBron to say he's leaving Cleveland. Okay? There's that angle to it. Then there is the Celtics trading from number one back to number three, and the Celtics giving up the shot at Markelle Fultz, who has looked good for Philadelphia since he has made his return, another good young player on Philly, who isn't there yet, but makes Philadelphia a legitimate candidate for LeBron to go there this coming offseason, and a place that he can actually
consider.
Makes
him attractive, yeah.
LeBron could go to Philadelphia. That makes them another option for him. There's also the Celtics doing the deal for Kyrie and then trading away Isaiah, who then ends up in L.A., where L.A. clears cap space, and now L.A. can have Paul George and LeBron James on their team next year because the cap space is free. So the Lakers, already a candidate and already a team that LeBron wants to go to, financially has found a way to be in better shape to add more than just LeBron, or to have money to spend on more than just LeBron.
Yeah, and in a sad way, Kyrie not being available, and to further your point about LeBron, say they do go to the NBA Finals, but they ultimately lose, say, in six or seven games to Golden State. LeBron can look at Cleveland and say, well, you haven't done enough to help. Get me enough help. I got you here again, but you know what? I can't do this again. I can't get here and lose staying in Cleveland, so I'm heading out west to go to L.A. to play with George. Like, Kyrie could have prevented that. LeBron can't sell that to Cleveland. I think he looks more like crap if he gets eliminated earlier. See, if LeBron gets all the way to the finals,
yeah,
and you come up short, it's all on me again. You got me no help. It's
oh,
like,
yeah.
It's like the Brady thing we talk about.
And not only that, this,
are
had,
you
already,
building around
this
Brady?
Had already happened, as I just said.
You just said they threw it all Brady's left.
When,
just like
when they
all
traded away Kyrie, it made the team, you know, not be as star-driven and does not have the guys around him that he once had. And he can already make the case.
Took a massive piece away.
The fact that Kyrie's not there, it's easier to leave. And then it's, we're going to go to the finals again. So he gets that out of it, another trip to the finals. You've got a new option in Philadelphia. You've got a better option than what you already had in L.A. It just, everything seems to go his way here.
And what if the Rockets beat the Warriors? They might win another title.
What if that happens?
They
Who
could beat
knows?
The Rockets easily. They might not beat the Warriors, but they could beat the Rockets. Listen, I got you four finals, two titles, I'm out. Easy way to go.
Yeah. He's going to the finals, he's going to lose, and he's going to leave. And the path for him to get there got easier.
The last time things didn't come up LeBron, was that game at the Garden in 2010 when he lost and walked off the floor. That's the last time.
Well, that's a long time
ago. When he went back to Cleveland, I said, there's no way he can leave now. That's it.
Yeah,
that's where he's
got to
play.
And I'm wrong.
But it just,
we all were.
Well, not only wrong, but I just think that I've seen enough of LeBron now, and maybe they've seen the same thing in Cleveland where, all right, we see who this guy is.
Yeah.
He came back, and we'll give him credit for that, but he is not the savior. He's not the best guy in the world. He's the best basketball player in the world, fine, but we're not going to suffer under the delusion anymore that he's always going to do the quote-unquote right thing for his hometown team. And quite frankly, it's a little too much to ask. The way he left, the way he went to Miami, okay, I'm going to come back, I'm going to truffle it all up.
He was vilified, though.
Yeah, you let a couple of years pass, and you're like, yeah, I've seen enough of him. He's still all about himself, and of course he's going to leave. And they're not going to be happy about it, but he'll survive it in terms of an image. Because when you're the best player in the world, you can get away with doing stuff like that, and he still is.
I think he works out hard. You could tell. I mean, it's still all about him. He loves the camera,
yes.
Blah, 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 this and that. But your detest for him has actually gone down because of what Kevin Durant did. Kevin Durant has allowed you to feel differently about LeBron James and him not being a mercenary and going to get the money. Kevin Durant got his ass kicked by that team that he said, you know what, I'm going to go there because I can't beat him.
But Kevin Durant
doesn't even.
He didn't get off the hook because of Kevin Durant.
Like, I dislike Kevin Durant more than LeBron.
What Kevin Durant did, I think, is not admirable either. But it's not like Kevin Durant left, went to Golden State, came back to Oklahoma City, and then left again.
But he still
that's what LeBron's doing.
But he still brought you back a championship, and he's getting you almost closer there again and again, and he's putting money in the building and money in your economy when you have teams that really suck, except the Indians.
Just anybody who thought like I did, and Beetle, and Jim, or whoever.
Yep.
Jim, I don't mean to lump you in with this. Maybe you never thought that, but when he went back to Cleveland, thought he'd never be able to leave.
I never thought he'd leave.
He could leave.
But I don't. I understand. I understand him leaving.
It's not going to affect his image all that much. It's crazy.
Feels like he's coming up a winner once again.
Champ.
Everything's going this guy's way.
King.
617-779-0985. Billy Jaffe was scheduled to join us at 11, but he's going to join us coming up in the very next segment, so stay tuned for that.
I see him.
It's the joy of the hot dog.
Boom. Like, I win. Like, yeah.
But he has the ability to get skinny in the hole.
I know. I want to get it out.
Highly underrated piece of meat.
Beetle and Zell.
Sports Hub host for the most.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Bouncing to the far circle. Yandle dives on top of it. And the horn sounds. So the Florida Panthers hold on for a 3-2 regulation win over the Boston Bruins.
Hello, Billy Jaffe.
What's up?
How are you, sir?
I'm awesome. Awesome.
Another nice hat.
Worked late last night.
Not that late.
I felt like you were on late. 11. You're still on my TV when I was going to bed.
Lucky you.
That was late.
For you. No, I'm good. Now the Kingston Police Department sends out these hats and a shirt to me every year.
Oh,
these
I guys thought that was a Kevin Paul DuPont hockey hat. It says KPD.
KPD. That's a good point by you.
KPD hockey.
He's selling them now. Yeah, these guys at Kingston, Mass. Are awesome. And they have a big hockey tournament every year. I don't have the handle in front of me, but if you go on Twitter or social media, you can see it, and they have a big fire and police
nice
tournament, and they send me a hat and a shirt every year, and I love it. So thanks, guys.
Good.
How you guys doing?
We're doing good. Well.
You guys upset with Hardy?
Always. I am.
Yeah.
Personally, yes. I am upset with Hardy.
There's some issues with the Masters draft. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Gambling pool.
The integrity of the league.
I know he's been down there.
It's not a league. It's a dictatorship. I run it. I've always run it.
Wow.
My word is...
He's hot about this.
My word is law.
Yeah.
And the first rule of the Masters draft is no whining, which you are breaking, like...
No, I'm not whining.
Oh, he's
a commissioner of all gambling.
I'm pointing out the flaws that really have been created.
The biggest
by
flaw was letting you into the draft.
I know
that
I'm not
was
alone
the
on this.
Number one flaw.
No, I didn't get screwed.
No,
I'm in great shape. I'm in second place in the pool.
Oh, good.
But I know that our assistant program director, Rick Radzik, he has an issue with the latest ruling.
No, he does not. With me.
No, he's not with
me. He is with me.
He's not with me. We followed up last night. I followed up with him last night. He says, nope, they're screwed. We'll get to this later, okay? You and I, we'll get to this.
If you have no problem with it, why are you meddling in there, Beetle?
Yeah.
Who?
You're mixing it up in the middle. You're trying to get in the middle.
Mm. Of what?
You said I have no problem with it, but some other people do. I talked to them last night about it.
No, I do have a problem with it.
Yeah.
Did I say that?
This is awesome.
Yeah, it sounded like.
Oh, no, I definitely have a problem with it.
And
I'm just not whining about
don't
it.
Don't oversell yourself either.
I'm pointing out the problems that exist.
You're in a tie for second with me.
Sorry.
Don't act like, you know, you're the be-all, end-all.
I'm tied for second with Hardy.
You get, you get that right. Muffin of Panera Bread?
No.
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 That's I like that. You sure you didn't get that Panera Bread?
No, it was on the table in the kitchen. Yeah, we're not talking about muffins right now.
There's muffins down the hall if you'd like
you
a
muffin.
Muffin?
Go get a
yes,
muffin.
There is.
Where do you think
you
I got one
I
from?
I can't eat that.
Billy's got a muffin. Hardy's got a muffin.
Yeah, I can't eat that. That looks good, though.
Great.
I like to butter your muffin.
I like how they wrap their muffin.
Hey, how did Tukaras play last night?
He played well last
I thought
night.
He did, too.
Played beautifully.
He really did.
Average on the other night and really well last night.
Do you think that was a show-me type of game? We talked about this yesterday. Bruce Cassidy had the plan to sit Tuka here at the end. And then all of a sudden came out and said, well, that may change.
Yeah.
In sort of the way to just needle him a little bit and say, hey, show me something here in this game. And I thought he responded last night.
Well, I thought he responded big time. And I also thought it was a show-me game for the team in general with regard to, all right, you know, they're 0-2 now in Florida against after having a day off. You know, they didn't have a day off last game yesterday. But they went down after playing back-to-back, day off in Florida, and then they lose. And I'm not, there's no shenanigans or anything, but the reality is this. You go down there,
the
hang out, the whatever.
It's
you know,
a different mindset, man.
It is a different mindset. And you go down, it's different when you go down there for playoffs
totally.
Because you're focused and you say, playoff time. And it's a whole different mentality. When you go down there and you had a day off and you're chilling and whatever, then you go to the rink and you say, okay, got to pick it up. They didn't do it against Tampa. We all know that was not a good game, and Tuca was not. He was like the rest of the team. The battle wasn't there. The compete, the sharpness. That's what it was. The focus wasn't there. Last night, Beetle, I thought it was good, very good by Tuca. And I thought good at times by the team, but not good enough overall.
What was up with his comments after the game the other night? How'd you think he played? I thought I played real well. Okay, let's move on.
Did he say,
it was like a condescending response.
Yeah, I think he was just trying to move on.
Okay, good.
I think he was just trying to move on.
Because I just didn't know if that was going to be problematic moving to last night's game to where, okay, it's going to be a kick in the ass for him.
No, I mean, I don't see that as I think basically he knew he was okay in the other night, and he let in a goal or two that, yeah, I'd like to have back. And it's the old thing, you know, goaltenders know it when they get into the business. You know, they're going to be extra scrutinized. I think every once in a while. Yeah. You know what? Is it like a quarterback? You just get pissed off every once in a while internally and you just handle it that way. Like, yeah, I played all right and, you know, I played well.
Well, he's been here for so damn long. And it's the same questions when he knows he doesn't play well.
Yeah. Well, remember after that Pittsburgh game a few months ago when he used expletives to describe his game?
Yes.
It was, and people loved it,
people
right?
Liked it.
Okay. And they loved it when he got into the fight a week ago.
Yep.
Loved it.
That was huge.
Right. I mean, you know, if you're like that every day, that wears off, too. Meaning, you know what I mean? The impact of
but
it.
This is too. It's the mindset. You're in Florida. And I just think it's the end of the year grind.
I agree.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's great. But now they're in a position where they're making it harder on themselves in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah. How?
Well, they now don't have that top spot.
Agreed.
So
okay. But
you could potentially be giving Tampa Bay the home ice.
The whole way through.
the whole way through.
Right. How many number one seeds last year, just using 1 year, made it all the way to the Stanley Cup?
Zero.
I'll give you a hit. Zero.
I know. Zero.
The way you phrase it, that means zero.
I'm just, and I'm not saying that that doesn't mean that this year, Beetle, that one won't come through. But a number eight seed and a number two or three made it last year.
I know, Billy, the NHL is better than any other league at having the eight seed having a real shot.
Right.
Every team you feel has a shot.
But I know what you're saying. It's
well,
it could
because
be...
that's the team that we look at and say, who could really get in the Bruins' way in the Eastern Conference? Well, Tampa Bay certainly could. I mean,
I think Washington seems like the one.
Oh, yes.
But
I know
what you're saying. In the short term, it's going to be Tampa. But I also think, look, and I've said this publicly and on and off the air, you know, New Jersey is a concern for me if I'm the Bruins with the speed with which they play.
You and Judd been talking? You and Judd been.
We live together, but I've been saying this since the middle of the year.
over the cornflakes in the morning? Why?
Yes.
Cuddled up on the futon at night with a glass of hot cocoa and.
No. Hot wine.
There's something coming out of that Jaffe household about the New Jersey Devils.
No, like if you watch them, the way that they play, my point is the one team, you know what, to your point, the one team that doesn't fear me, you put that much fear into me overall, maybe the Bruins could play them. There's one team, and I'm not being disrespectful, I'm just saying overall in the series, the Philadelphia Flyers. So, in theory, the Bruins could be, if they don't win the East, they could be taking themselves out of the date with the Flyers, depending on how that all plays out. But otherwise, I got to tell you something. I got respect for Columbus. I got respect for New Jersey. I've got respect for Toronto. And I don't want to get into this, we're going to pick our opponent type of thing. I think that's a mistake for any team that does that.
Billy Jaffe is with us, and we got open phone lines for you on the Bruins, 617-779-0985. Let's continue the conversation about the Bruins going forward, and we've kind of kicked this around all week, which is what's the fair expectation now that we have changed our expectation, not what we thought preseason about the Bruins, but what we think now about the Bruins as they go into the playoffs. What's a fair thing to say that they should do in this playoff run? 617-779-0985. We'll pick it up with Billy Jaffe in 90 seconds.